So word on the street is that you're doing a cross-country trek.
I'm doing it again, John. I'm going from New York City to sunny Los Angeles, which is actually rainy Los Angeles.
Rainy? It doesn't rain in L.A.
It rains all the time there now. It's not global warming. It's global raining.
So when does this odyssey begin?
So hit the road on Monday, and then I'm going to swing on down the southern states, trying to avoid any northern storms, not northern people.
You're green booking it?
Is that Green Book? Is that what you know what? Honestly, I don't even know anything about that movie. It just looks like a bad movie to me.
I mean, all of the controversy aside, the acting was very good.
Oh, okay.
Viggo Mortensen was really good.
Oh, so this is like a sequel to Lord of the Rings, then.
It's a sequel to Driving Miss Daisy.
It's like Driving Miss Daisy and Lord of the Rings.
Right, right.
I consider every Viggo Mortensen film to be just a sequel to Lord of the Rings.
So we got a lot of baseball to talk about this week.
Yeah.
This is episode 96 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Tommy Harper episode. He wore number 96 last year for the Philadelphia Phillies, and one of only three players in the history of baseball to do so. But the only one
I thought you were going to say Tommy Harper, who played for the 1920 Boilermakers.
No, there is.
Oh, some old school Tommy Harper.
No, there was one of those. There is Max Azuki, played with the Mariners in 96 with his outstanding.
As all Asian players must.
Right, with his outstanding negative 0.15 WAR. But there was Bill Voisel with the Boston Braves and Chicago Cubs, and he had a WAR 4 years in the league and had a WAR of 10.56. But I didn't.
Wait, he had a WAR in the 40s? Was it a world war?
It was.
Oh gosh! Oh, the caffeine is not good for anyone today.
I was surprised that what I thought would be the biggest headline of the week is buried down several layers in your headlines.
The reason why, John, is because everyone cares about Bryce Harper.
But don't you think that the Nolan Arenado is who we're referring to, his 8-year extension is big news for not only the money, because it's the second highest average annual value, but also for the ripple effect that it has on all the teams that were lining up for him?
I guess.
No?
But you know what? No one's searching our website going, oh, I wonder what's happening with Nolan Arenado. People are searching our website saying, what is happening with Bryce Harper?
Oh, so this is all about our website? I thought it was all about...
This is about SEO, John. This is about expanding our global reach.
Oh, wow.
No one cares about Nolan Arenado. You know who cares about Nolan Arenado? Nolan Arenado. Maybe his parents, some of the Rockies fans.
So I'm going to start...
Wow, he's such a great player. Does anyone care about him?
I'm
wow,
start
he's a
calling,
six-win player.
I'm going to start
no
calling
cares.
You the brain. And you can start calling me Pinky.
Look, he's a great player. Nolan Arenado, but just no one cares.
Really? Because
he's
Colorado.
Just one of those guys. No one cares.
Okay.
Like, what's your favorite Nolan Arenado moment, John? Exactly. None. Rest my case. Bryce Harper? I like when he beat the hell out of Jonathan Papelbon.
Okay.
How about the home run derby?
Yeah, that was good.
When him and his dad cheated a little bit. But you know what? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's
rules
right.
are made to be broken.
Especially when it's entertaining.
Coming up next on the Alex Rodriguez Show.
So let's go to Bryce then. We've got
Hold on a second. I want to cover a couple things before we get started.
Okay.
A, we started off talking about Lord of the Rings, and coincidentally, this is the fantasy baseball special.
It is.
I think that's a funny little coincidence.
It is.
Two. Everyone should stick around at the end of the show, or at least fast forward to the end, to do the what's coming up next. Because honestly, it's the only thing that I write for this show ever. It's the only writing that... Now, I guess technically the starting nine involves writing, but...
It's more thinking
than writing.
The rest
is just copy-paste. Yeah, exactly. Thinking, not writing. But the coming up next is a funny little thing we do to reward those of you who stuck to the end. Also... please rate and review our show. And you know what? Share the show. Right. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. You know, or don't share the show and be greedy, because I admire that as well. But at least own the greediness. Be like, you know what? I just don't want others to have the benefit of this information, this entertainment, this joy, this laughter. Hundreds of people listen to our show, John.
Hundreds.
Do you remember we used to joke about ones? Because it was like, hey, look, right. 8 people listened to it this week. Hundreds of people, John. And you know what? None of them are rating or reviewing our show.
Come on, people. Get with it.
We don't ask for much, just that you put up with our garbage for an hour.
We can't just do this on SEO alone.
You know what? We might be able to, because we've already gotten as far as we have just on SEO.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, also, that reminds me, One Direction, Justin Bieber, Nicki Minaj, just put those in the text. We've talked about them now. Put them in the text. Boom, okay. Search engine results.
Okay.
Because you know people who are looking for those and they go, oh, wait, and baseball? I wonder.
This can't be.
Okay, they probably don't do that. They probably go like, why did they put it on this? I don't want to be on a baseball site.
Why is Nicki Minaj at the last part of the headline of this baseball podcast? But hopefully
it would be funny if that's exactly how they sounded. Like, oh, I'm looking for Nicki Minaj stories. What if it was more like, hi, I'm looking for Nicki Minaj stories. I'm a prepubescent person and he knows more about twerking.
That is the value, see, of this baseball podcast, is that it's not about baseball. It's thinly
about
veiled.
Baseball, but also twerking. That should be our new motto.
If it ain't twerking, try something different. So let's see. Let's get into the baseball. Was that all you wanted to?
That's all I had.
But okay, the good thing about Bryce Harper is, you know, it sounded like it was becoming an old story, but it just was. Just became a new story within the last few days, because the Dodgers came back in, the Giants now all of a sudden are throwing 10 years at him, and this is percolating, and Boris is loving every moment of it.
Yeah, a week ago people were talking about, like, oh, we might have to go, the players are talking about might have to go on strike, and then Manny got his $300 million, and now the teams are talking about giving Harper 10 years, $300-plus million. So, like, what's the problem here? Is the problem that it's just taking them a long time to sign the contract? Is that really on the teams?
No, I think it's on the agents. The agents are like...
I think it's on the agents, right? So, like, and far be it for an agent to manipulate a system and sow unrest amongst players in order to push their ends.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, I wouldn't expect a lawyer to do something like that. That's sarcasm, John.
I understand. Okay. So what is your gut? My gut right now is the Phillies are not in the lead position and they're in panic mode. Because
they put their
big deal on the table and you would have thought he would have jumped all over it, and he didn't, because he might be able to get more money from somebody else.
What was Manny's deal? It was $300 for 10 years with an opt-out at 5, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what if Harper got from the Dodgers a 5-year deal at $35 million a year?
I mean, barring
this guy like his limbs falling off, in 5 years when he's 31, he's gonna be able to get another 5-year deal.
Or 8-year deal.
Right, or 8 years. I mean, Manny Machado is opting out at 5 years. We'll get to the Arenado thing in a second, but like, it's like, wow, an 8-year contract extension. Great move, Rockies. It's a 3-year contract extension. It's actually just a 2-year contract extension, because he has an opt-out after 3 years, and he is going to opt out. Unless his limbs fall off, and he's just like, all right, I'll take the guaranteed money. Like, Arenado has signed a 2-year contract extension. It's not an 8-year extension. The 8 years just makes it look like fluff and like, oh, look at all the guaranteed money. But this is a great player who's worth more than $30 million a year. I mean, I know, oh, is anyone really worth 30? Who cares? Per value, they are. It's a market rate deal, which I don't fully understand for the Rockies, but really after 3 years, he's going to opt out. Like, there's no question.
Right. Those always wind up being in the favor of the players, because if they underperform, they just stay.
Yeah.
It's like, why would he walk away if he has a down year or if he has an injury? Why would he walk away from $32 million?
Like, David Price didn't opt out, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he was given, like, a max contract at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not going to opt out. But is J.D. Martinez? You bet your ass J.D. Martinez is opting out after next season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much he likes playing for the Red Sox. He'll opt out and maybe sign another deal with the Red Sox. Maybe. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, back to Harper. My gut is the Dodgers right now. I think Harper wants to play for the Dodgers. It's a winning team, and I think he cares about winning. Like, the Giants are losers. Like, and no disrespect to Bruce Bochy and that amazing run of 3 World Series in 5 years is incredible. But that is just not the team that is playing in San Francisco right now. This is a team that is going to be struggling for 75 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Harper's going to go to? Like, also, it's going to depress all his offensive numbers, right? And look, if I was a baseball player, I would want to have the most impressive numbers of anyone playing. And his or numbers are all going to go down 20% if he goes to San Francisco because of that part.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to throw a lot of money at him in order to get him there. But apparently there's a 10-year deal on the table.
Right. That's the rumor, is that the Giants have a 10-year, the Phillies have a 10-year, and there's a half rumor-ish that the Dodgers are willing to do 10, but they're really pushing for a shorter deal.
They're willing to do 10 at 20.
they'll give him 100 and though is it $165 million? No, is it $165 million over 10 years or over 5? It's up to him.
Up to him, right? Either or, your deal. We'll give you.
You
the
want
10.
A 10-year deal?
Right, we can do that. But the fun little story out of D.C. is that a donut shop is offering Bryce Harper free donuts for life if he stays in D.C.
Talk about a dream come true. Donuts for life would just be spectacular. I guess it depends on the donut place, right?
Mm-hmm. It'd have to be
like,
good.
It's taken... how long have I been in New York now? Three years. So
haven't found one
it's
yet?
It's taken 2.5 years to find the best donut place in New York. It's down in Chelsea. It's a place called the Donut Pub.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the best donuts that I've ever had, ever.
Ooh. There's a ringing endorsement. Is that a new sponsor?
Hey, hell yeah. Foul Territory, brought to you by Donut Pub. Come in hungry, leave fat.
Is this a place where you just, you know, drop in, pick up a few for the road?
Yeah.
Or a dozen for the road? Or is it a place that you sit down, have
you
a few?
You sit down, you have one each, you and your lovely wife. And you get, whatever, 4 more to go. Boom. You have those as soon as you get home. No, later through, you know, the next night or whatever.
Right.
Or when you get home, whatever. Right. Just skip dinner and just have more donuts.
Because I've done the thing before where I've gone into a donut shop and I usually would get a cup of coffee and a donut, mm-hmm. maybe two,
yeah.
and work there for 6-7 hours. And then
yeah.
about 3.5-4 hours into it, be like, yeah, I'm feeling a little peckish for another donut.
Yeah.
Is it one of those places?
This place this is actually like a little mini diner.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so you can't really do the setting up to write thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really conducive to that. It's a little hole-in-the-wall type place, but by far. And there's like some really good donut places in New York. Don't get me wrong. There's some really good donut places. But this is just like the best donuts that you can put in your mouth hole.
Oh.
Hey, John and Jed, it's Jed. Hate to interrupt you guys while you're doing your thing, but before you start jibber-jabbering about Bryce Harper, I thought you might want to know that Bryce Harper actually signed with the Phillies moments ago. Apparently, 13-year, $330 million contract. Sure, it's more money than anyone could ever want. Is it more money than Giancarlo Stanton got with his big deal? Yes. Does inflation make it actually less? Yes. Is the average annual value a lot less than Manny Machado? Yes. Manny Machado, $30 million a year. Bryce Harper, a little over $25 million a year. You know who else got a little over $25 million a year? Josh Hamilton. Okay. Bryce Harper just signed a Josh Hamilton contract. Now, granted, for 13 years with no opt-out clause. So I guess, I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But I kind of feel like the Dodgers for $35 million a year at 5 years. I don't know. The Phillies need Bryce Harper. That's a lot less money per year than I think everyone thought he was going to get. I think they were talking about him getting $10 million more per year from the Dodgers. I feel like that catches up at a certain point. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Does anyone know? Does anyone care? Anyway, John, Jed, back to whatever you were talking about, even if it is Bryce Harper speculating where he might go. I think he winds up on the Dodgers. I'm not sure how they fit him in and whatever, but I think he winds up on the Dodgers. And I, when I say I mean like, I don't know, 38% and then Phillies 22 and then...
It will be interesting, you know, to see how 3%. It all plays out. But you would think he would want to get in there before the end of next week just to get some time, you know, for his new team. Probably the... I guess, I don't know if I would say it's overly concerning, but when you consider the caliber of the player in Clayton Kershaw, the fact that he's got, you know, shoulder soreness and tightness, and it's all because he was trying to amp up his velocity. And he hasn't been able to pitch since, what was it, Friday? Last Friday?
Or maybe his wife hasn't been taking care of business, you know what I'm saying?
But as a
That's
Dodgers
more of an elbow
fan,
thing, though, right? That's not really a shoulder thing.
Is it his elbow?
No, it's his shoulder.
Oh, I gotcha. That would be her
My
elbow.
My terrible joke, John. That's what I'm referring to. My terrible joke.
She's got the elbow issue. He's got the shoulder issue. But as a Dodgers fan, are you concerned?
Obviously, yes. I mean, this is a guy who, up until last season was what, a second round fantasy baseball draft pick, first round. Right. Some people would even consider taking him 1-1 over over Mike Trout. And the innings have gone down and the back problems and the velocity's down and he's still Clayton Kershaw, but it's like it's more like Clayton-ish Kershaw. Right. And yeah, like this is still a great pitcher, but is he the greatest pitcher this year? No. I mean, like 2 years ago, there was like, he's the greatest pitcher of this generation. And that he still is that, like over time. But I mean, if he pulls an Oral Hershiser here and just, you know, disappears, collapses into himself like a dying star, then I don't know if anyone else, the Dodgers won't be able to handle that singularity. You know what I mean?
So big news in Yankees camp.
Yeah.
Andy Pettit's going to be the special advisor to the Yankees.
Yeah, I guess the Marlins didn't want him. Is that the
right?
Deal?
Yeah, like, I thought
Jeter was
sure.
Like, "Sorry, Andy, this is for me and Jorge only."
Right, you're not invited. So he's like, "Screw you! I'm going to the Yankees as a special advisor."
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know which is bigger news. You know, Aaron Hicks signing his extension or Pettit being named a special advisor.
All right, let's get into these extensions, right? So Aaron Hicks, was it 7 years, $70 million? That feels like a potentially great contract for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Injuries, you know, whatever. I think, whatever, anytime someone's paid $70 million and we're like, I don't know if that's a great contract for him. That's a great contract for a human being to receive $70 million to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have gotten more if he played year by year, got paid year by year? Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
But at that level, who cares, right? Does it? It just doesn't matter.
You know, and we have a string of other extensions as well.
So
manager extension, Bud Black, which was surprising it took that long after the success he had in his first two seasons there. But that came, which was good. I think it was a four-year extension.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Through 22, right? Or
yeah, it took 23. Getting a former pitcher to manage the Rockies to get them to actually work out a way to manage that ballpark in altitude.
Here's the thing, John. I'm still super dubious of every starting pitcher in Colorado and in fantasy baseball. I just will not seek them out. I can't believe it. You know, like too many years, too many 8-run performances by quality pitchers have shown me that you just can't.
And it all started with Mike Hampton back in the day.
And Daryl Kyle, rest in peace, but wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I wonder if my curveball will work in Colorado. Nope.
Hampton went from being one of the most dominant pitchers to an asterisk.
To being one of the highest paid pitchers.
Right.
he was incredible. Great hitter.
Mm-hmm.
you know, he was on the Astros and then the Mets, or the Mets and then the Astros, and then he went and signed with the Rockies, and it was a mess.
It did. Yeah.
But I think Bud Black is a great manager. Good I liked man. Him with the Padres and thought that the Padres – I mean, the Padres are a messed up team, and hopefully they'll get all that sorted out eventually because, you know, let's just have everyone play the best they can. But they got rid of Bochy. He goes on to win 3 World Series. They get rid of Bud Black. He goes on to figure out the Rockies.
Been to the postseason.
Maybe that's the thing. Go from the Padres to somewhere.
Right. Right. So who? Maybe Andy Green is the fix.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. Now they just got to surround him with some, you know, decent players like Machado.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as to say
Fernando Hosmer. Tatis Jr. is coming this year.
Yeah. So the prospects are the key to their success. And if they're healthy and they perform and he just stays out of the way, he could become a Bochy.
Yeah.
We'll see. So we talked about Arenado a little bit. Was there anything else you want to talk about specific to his?
Look, my problem with that contract, it really is the 3-year opt-out.
Right.
Like I don't think fans are appreciating that like it's not a 4-year opt out. It's not after halfway through the contract. It's after 3 years. He is going to opt out. And then you have to go through all this stuff again.
So it really wound up being only a 2-year extension because he signed the ARB deal, even though it's $6 million more a year, but it really was they knew they had him for this year anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm not saying this is going to be like the Ryan Howard thing because this is different than the Ryan Howard thing. But like, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense other than like, hey, I'm glad players are getting paid. Miles Michaelis got an extension too, and he's getting paid now, $68 million. Good for him. I don't know. If I was a Rockies fan, I would be like, wait a minute. He can leave after 3 years? Wait a second. But I remember when Kershaw had that opt out. And you remember Kershaw opted out after last season.
Right. And then re-signed.
And the Dodgers re-signed and extended him. And, oh, now he's injured. And like, hey, you guys, maybe you didn't need to be so excited about re-signing Clayton Kershaw right away.
But I also look at it as if I'm a Rockies fan, that they have a win now window. And they got 3 more years to capitalize on that.
Yeah. And, you know, they have great prospects that they need to trade, though, you know, like, I want to see that organization run itself better before I can really, you know, believe in them. And I don't see this contract as being like a real win for them. It's not like a win-win where like they're both, you know, like the Aaron Hicks is a win-win, right? Aaron Hicks gets $70 million. The Yankees get an undervalued player for a long term at a good price. You know, he'll move over to left field after a couple of years when his legs start to go and they can bring in someone else to play center, blah, 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 right? But this just seems like we paid him exactly what he was worth. By the way, after 3 years, he can opt out if he wants, but we're stuck with him for 8 if something goes wrong.
Right.
I don't see the – but the Rockies are one of the worst – this is the team that signed Ian Desmond, like, to play first base.
But
what
he's been a
doing?
Super now utility player for them. He's played
he
all over
He has not
the
been
place.
A super – he's been a utility player because they have to play him.
Right.
They have other players. They have cheaper players that are just as good. They have minor league players stacking up behind Ian Desmond, but they're still paying Ian Desmond. No one else was offering him whatever $18 million a year. Can you even imagine him getting that in this economy?
Right. And he's 3 years into that? This is his fourth season?
It's third or fourth. I'm not 100% sure. Feels like it's third. This is his third season. And then he's got, what, 2 more after that? Sheesh. Crazy contract. Rockies, though, right? Then the Rockies go out and sign Daniel Murphy to play first base?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right.
So that they can move Ian Desmond back to the outfield.
Yeah, they have 2 of their best prospects that are first basemen.
Right, so they're stacked.
They have middle infield and third base guys who could move over to first base. Ian Desmond could play. What is even going on?
He'll be
what
catching.
Are you doing?
He'll be catching before long.
And that's the other thing is like trade for a catcher, man.
Right. That's where Real Muto. You were pushing for Real Muto.
Yeah, you telling me the Rockies couldn't out you know, outbid Sixto Sanchez?
Yeah, they got a ton of prospects.
Send him Brendan Rodgers. Be like, here, you take this guy. We don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, we're stacked at first. So one of the names that seemed to take an awful long time to land was Marwin Gonzalez, of more of the Astros World Series year fame. You know, he had a great season. Fell off a little bit last year. But
2017 was an exceptional year.
Yeah, but it took forever for him to land somewhere.
Yeah.
And he lands with the Twins, which is a good deal for the Twins. It makes, you know, if he can be a 2017 version.
I mean, even if he's sort of like a halfway in between 2017 and 2018, we'll say like 2017 and a half, or what would be 27 and 2018? Like, let's say January 2018. That doesn't really make sense mathematically. No. Anyway, but I had talked about Machado possibly being a good fit for the Twins, and I think that Marwin Gonzalez is a good fit for them. They, you know, he could play a little outfield, he could play a little infield. If Sano winds up just not working out, they could just have him play third. It's an interesting signing. I'm not sure it's the Machado signing where it's like, hey, look, you've got your superstar for 10 years, but it's like, oh, you're kind of building something here, but like, okay, good, then go sign Dallas Keuchel as well.
Right.
Like, you need starting pitching, go get a starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's a big name that still hasn't.
It's weird, right?
Landed, yeah. And there's a chance he winds up back with the Astros too. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Josh James got pulled because of a quad muscle issue. He's electric, man. James, woo, man, I love that guy. Strikeout machine.
Was he was projected to make the rotation?
He was considered to be the front runner to be in the rotation. So now you're looking at like Brad Peacock, who was solid, but he's more like a five inning guy. I mean, Forrest Whitley will come up halfway through the season, you know, once they get all his
numbers in their favor.
Yeah, exactly. All his contract, whatever, arbitration stuff. I just feel like if he was going to re-sign with the Astros, he would have re-signed with the Astros. Like, I feel like the Astros are not thinking that's the plan. But the Phillies are still a good landing spot because the Phillies are going to have money if they don't sign Harper.
That's
I mean, they're going to have money if they do sign Harper. But.
Right. That would be a huge disgrace for the Phillies, who basically stated we're all in on both of these guys and we're definitely getting one of them.
Yeah.
And more or less came out and said that. And now they're in panic mode because they put their best deal on the table and thought for sure it was a slam dunk. And all the rumors over the weekend were like, yep, the deal's close to being finalized.
Right.
And nope.
Turns out it wasn't close.
And I think a lot of that's
Dodgers
hopeful.
Were...
You know, homer broadcasters and radio sportscasters are hopeful, and they get angry, and they, you know, there's one of the locals just blasted Machado for picking the Padres. Why would you pick the Padres when, you know, we have a win now team and you're a perfect fit here? It's like, it has nothing to do with you, pal.
Right.
It has to do with him. It's nothing to do with you. And I just think the crowd, the Philly fans have been whipped into a frenzy over this by the media. Probably more so by the local media. And if it doesn't happen, it's going to be looked at as some sort of a failure.
Yeah.
It'll be...
Well, also, if your owner comes out and says, we're going to spend stupid money, or was it crazy money?
Right.
Silly money, whatever.
Yeah, silly money.
Stupid money. Like, you have to go out and spend stupid money. Like, if he gets if he gets a 10-year, $300 million offer, Machado, then stupid money, silly money, crazy money is 10 years, $350 million. Who cares? Who cares about $50 million over 10 years if you're running a baseball team?
Right.
Who cares?
Right. As fans are going to be like, you let us down.
Right.
And I guess one of the questions that you would have to ask is, well, why don't these top players want to play in Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, you know, we all know the answer to that. No offense, Philly fans, but yikes.
Right. They either love you or they hate you.
Yeah.
And that's the home team.
Yeah.
Not afraid to boo.
I don't think that's what it is, though, right? I think it's just like a combination of factors. It's always like, it's money, but then where do you want to live? Do you want to live on the East Coast? Do you want to live on the West
Coast?
Right,
no, there's
two completely different lifestyles. You know, some people are like very metropolitan, and some people are very like, I want to have a giant mansion on the ocean. You know what I mean? Not on the ocean, but you know what I mean? Like on the coast.
So let's get through this. We still have a few more things here.
Who else signed?
Blue Jays are saying that the top prospect in baseball will start the year in AAA. Big surprise there.
Right. It's a manipulation of his service time. They're saying it's like, well, he's only 19 and he needs to work on third base some more. Like, all right.
And then he'll be brought up in
May. He's a top 20 hitter in Major League Baseball right now.
Right.
He can work on third base in Major
League
Baseball.
While he's there. Right.
Yeah. And but at the same time, I don't begrudge them manipulating his service time. Like, there's no way they can get out from underneath Josh Donaldson's contract or Troy Tulowitzki's contract or Jose Reyes's contract.
Right.
They're stuck with those.
Right.
So they're going to work the system back the other way against the players. So the players are willing to concede, then the owners are not going to concede.
And, I guess I have no issue with that. And I remember it came to a head with the Chris Bryant scenario,
right.
And it became the biggest headlines ever. It's like, he should be here, and, you know, this is ridiculous.
Right.
And it's like, in 3-4 weeks, he was up on the major league team, and he was there for, you know, not going anywhere. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? The guy, he's going to get his money.
I would like if they worked out a system where just generally younger players were just kind of paid more and there wasn't this sort of like service time manipulation thing. Because then it's just like, you know, fans get excited about young players. It's a big part of the game now is young players.
But we're talking days.
If you want young
weeks,
fans.
We're not talking months.
But they want it now. This is America, dude. This is 2019. People want it now. They don't want it tomorrow. They don't want to read the news tomorrow. They want to go on Twitter right now and see what happened. Even if it means getting fake news. We won't say fake news. We'll say inaccurate news. Or under-researched or under-investigated news.
So what else do we got here? Okay, Guerrero will be up by May. Rick Ankiel.
So he'll be up by, April 15th, right? That's the cutoff.
Right. So Rick Ankiel is making another comeback.
He's doing it.
Is he coming back? He's not coming back as a pitcher, though, is he?
As a pitcher, yeah.
He is. So he left baseball as a pitcher when he couldn't find home plate, and he came back as a hitter.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he ever retired officially, but then he left baseball, and now he's coming back as a pitcher.
For some reason, I always see that name, Rick Ankiel, and I think Rick Astley. And Rick Ankiel's like, I'm never going to give you up.
Right. We're
never
going to
give you up.
Have you ever heard that auto-tune version of that song?
No.
Nails on a Chalkboard. Oh, it's hysterical and annoying at the same time.
Oh.
It's auto-tuned, wacky, all out of tune, but it's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
So there, we covered the music industry there.
Yes.
So I think we only have a few more genres before we've touched them all. let's see what else we. The pitch clock.
Technology. This is our technology segment.
So the pitch clock has been at 20 seconds or 25.
I think they were doing 20 seconds.
Yeah, because I know that Lester went off on it,
and
made a big stink about it, in a playful way.
Yeah.
But I don't see a place for pitch clocks.
Well, I think the league is doing two things with it. One, I think they're going to have a pitch clock in the minor leagues because I think it's good to teach pitchers to speed it up a little bit.
But
you don't want it to affect the major league game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're talking now about putting off any mention of it till 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're doing a little like negotiating, like, oh, well, you don't like this rule, but maybe we'll get this other rule instead. Like, that helps the owners or the teams or whatever. I don't like it ever for Major League Baseball because it just needs to take as long as it takes. But I like it in the minor leagues because, like, hey,
conditions,
maybe
them to pitch quicker. I get that. That
yeah,
makes
like
more sense.
Maybe you learn to speed it up, and then if you get to the major leagues and you want to slow it down, it's up to you.
Right. And so the Atlantic League is becoming the experimental league.
It's the Atlantic League guinea pigs and lab rats.
Right.
And human test subjects. Those are the three teams. It's an independent league, and they're going to do – they have a deal with Major League Baseball for Major League Baseball to test robot umpires.
Really?
Pitch clocks, yeah.
Wow.
You name it. Anything they want to try out and see how it goes, Atlantic League.
Are they going to do the pinball thing like us?
With the drones and stuff like that? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to do it. That's not on the board yet.
It will be eventually.
It may be.
When viewership starts to go down. When the attention span reaches like 3 seconds. Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah. You put the T-100 out there. Next thing you know, here comes the T-1000.
So that wraps up headlines. So starting 9 is in honor of your cross-country trek to L.A. 9 players with road trip movie names. This should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So every week, every episode, not necessarily every week, people. We take some modern current event and we pair them with players who are currently in the major leagues. First up, we have Planes, Trains, and Adam Ottavinomobiles.
There we go.
Next up, Dumb and Dumberingo Santana.
Dumberingo, Santana. I like that.
Dumberingo. Yeah, Dumberingo, it's a fun name.
Yeah, it is.
Don't be surprised if someone's named that in the next 10 years after a search engine result on this podcast. Right.
There we go, SEO, okay, baby.
How about this? Victor the Roe Blues Brothers.
No, good. That's really good.
Victor Robles.
Yeah.
How about Mike Almost Famous Stakis?
Oh, yes. That rolls off the tongue, too.
Yeah.
Good.
Almost Famous. That's a road trip film, man.
It is.
It's not a traditional buddy road trip film, but it's a road trip film.
It is.
One of the greatest, or more poignant, Lucas Giolito, Miss Sunshine.
That's good. Great
Little Miss Sunshine. Movie. Yeah. Thelma and Luis Castillo.
That's great.
Ryan Preslia, Queen of the Desert.
Nice.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Great road trip film. I never actually saw the Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for all the whatever. Right. I never saw the American version, but the Australian version's great. Harrison Baderlands.
Ooh.
That's Badlands for all you Terrence Malick fans. At, I guess the prequel for True Romance.
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen Badlands? It's a great film. Yeah. I mean, Terrence Malick, right? He did Badlands, and then what was the other one? The Richard Gere film. I can't remember the name of it. But then also, you know, he disappeared for 20 years and then came back.
He came back and he's making art
films.
Thin
Blue Line. Yeah, Thin Green Line, right?
Right.
Thin Green Line. And, and Tree of Life or whatever. I think that's him, right?
Is that?
Yeah. And he's just a beautiful filmmaker.
Yeah,
like,
Tree of Life
is
gorgeous. Just a gorgeous film. Most people are like, I don't understand what happened.
Yeah.
But it was
like,
nice,
it's almost better
at.
If you could mute the people talking.
Right.
And just have the music and the visuals and stuff.
Right.
In that film. But Badlands is a good film. It's Martin Sheen. And Sissy Spacek, basically like True Romance, what's his name? Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
And it even has the same island music, the little kettle drums or whatever those are called.
Right.
Has that similar, it's actually from Badlands. Great film.
Oh.
Last night, last one is Ahmed Knight Runsario.
And that's one of my favorite all-time buddy road trip films.
That's the film I've heard people describe this in Hollywood is that's the film that everyone wishes that they could make another of.
Mm-hmm.
That they could replicate. It's a perfect film.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Perfectly acted, perfectly written, perfect story, perfect execution on every level. It's a perfect film.
And a perfect matched pair of actors.
Yes, exactly. And like the cat, like everything, casting, like top to bottom, there's no flaws in it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Ahmed Knight Runsario. Ahmed Rosario, Midnight Run. Not to be confused with Midnight Express.
No, very different film. Not a buddy film in, well, kind of, but.
Well, depends on what you mean by butt.
Right. A buddy film.
Yes.
Yes. So next up, Around the Horn, after several weeks hiatus. We're going to talk about fantasy baseball sleepers, and Jed's going to whip through these super fast. Right?
Standard around the horn rules. No preparation. Just one team at a time. Bangity, bangity, bangity. I tell you what I think. Each team's fantasy baseball sleepers. Obviously, every team has good players except the Marlins. But these are the guys who you can get later in the draft, in your fantasy baseball draft, that can help you win your league, which I do every year and make lots of money at. So a little bit of some cred over here.
Right. And he's not kidding there, folks.
I win lots of leagues, and I win lots of money.
He plays for the money.
I play for the love of the game,
the love,
John,
of the game.
And the love of the money that there comes with the game.
Okay. I'll read the name of the team. You give me the sleeper.
Okay.
Braves.
I don't know. No. Okay. I think the sleeper is Josh Donaldson. I think it's funny to call him a sleeper, but he's going like, 90 to 100 in drafts. But this is a guy who's going to be a top 40 player at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I say that's a sleeper.
Mets.
I always love Conforto, but he's not a sleeper anymore. Everyone knows about him. A guy that's going too low is Cano. He's going too low. But my sleeper is Steven Matz.
Hmm.
That's the guy who probably won't be drafted in most 10-team leagues, maybe not even 12 teams. That's a guy I think winds up in the top 30 pitchers.
He's back from injury?
Yeah.
Okay. Phillies.
Okay, well, I wanted to say Nick Williams, but if the Phillies sign Harper, then not Nick Williams. So okay. I don't know what to do, but he's sort of like my secret. He's lefty. Even if they have him platooned a little bit, I think this could be his year where he really just pulls it together. It's a good lineup. They need a left-handed bat in that lineup, and. But again, Harper is the problem, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of Harper is the problem, the Nationals.
Okay, so my guy on the Nationals is Adams.
Mm-hmm.
First base.
And he had a great year last year.
Yeah. And I think, look, this isn't like a guy who you're going to pick in the 300th pick and he's going to be a top 10 player. But you're going to get him with the 300th pick, and he's going to be a top 150 player, and that's a sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Marlins.
Technically, everyone in the Marlins is a sleeper. Like, all the fans are asleep, all the players are sleepers. But if we had to say someone, I mean, Starlin Castro?
Right.
I just don't know who. I mean, I guess, was it Brian Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brian Johnson. Let's say Brian Johnson. I think he could be a sleeper. Not really. He's a Marlin.
Lewis Brinson's having a good spring so far.
All right. Is he still Lewis Brinson, though?
But, yeah, you can look great in spring, but that doesn't translate to...
Yeah. Hey, you know what, actually? I like Sandy Alcantara.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get him late, and he's going to be worth more than where you're going to get him. Let's get Sandy Alcantara. I feel better about that.
Okay. Red Sox.
Rafael Devers.
Comeback year. Yankees.
That's a tough one, though, right? Like, they're all sort of... Let's say Tulo.
Yeah.
Let's say Tulo plays with a chip on his shoulder until, the chip tears, and then he's out on the injured list. But let's say for now he's got a chip on his shoulder. Let's say Tulo.
But how about his first at-bat?
Yeah. Did you mean that opposite field home run?
Right.
And
that was in Dunedin against the Blue Jays, wasn't it?
Against the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And see, that's what I'm saying, chip on the shoulder.
And it was the most celebrated. It was the most celebrated spring training home run in the history of spring training.
Yeah, no, I mean, the guy, they practically mobbed him at home plate.
Right. It was like, he said it was the greatest home run he's ever hit in spring training.
Yeah.
So he was pretty stoked, though. Yeah. That would be a great story if he's able to,
Here's the thing, because he's like, oh, they gave up on me. Like, Tulo, they're paying you $25 million a year.
Yeah, they didn't give up on you.
Maybe they just felt like you're too injury prone, and when you weren't hitting well at all.
Right. It's like,
how about just thanks for the opportunity, and I'm going to continue to cash my checks from your organization.
Sure, and he's motivated, and that's fine. We'll see how it plays out over the course of 162 games.
Exactly.
Okay, Orioles. No, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. Rowdy Tellez, man.
Okay.
I'm all in on Rowdy Tellez.
You've been talking about him for a while.
I've been talking about him for 2 years. I'm excited about this guy. And he came up last year, and for the last 30 days, put it together, man. Power, contact, exciting stuff. How often will he play? I don't know. They have like six DHs and first basemen on that team. But
Orioles.
Oof. I mean, Villar's two is not sleeper enough, right? So let's say... I can't say Michael Givens. He's the closer-ish. They're going to get like eight saves this year. Don't draft Michael Givens. Don't pay that. Who cares? Get someone else. Get a starting pitcher. Who's the guy that was supposed to be really good? Oh, Stewart.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stewart. Davis.
No. DJ Stewart. That would be a hell of a thing, wouldn't it? Davis? Stewart... I'm really high on this guy. He's still barely eligible as a rookie. I think they need players, and he's going to play, and I think he's going to put up numbers.
Rays.
Okay, which one are the Rays? Rays to Tampa, right?
Yes.
Let me see. I mean, Yandy Diaz, right? Like, he's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Third base, good third baseman, hits as the second hardest hit rate in baseball, just a little too many ground balls with those hard hits. So I'm going to say Yandy Diaz.
Pirates.
I like the first baseman there. What's his name? Josh Bell.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sleeper.
Cardinals.
Paul Goldschmidt. You guys, come on. Paul DeJong. I think Paul DeJong's going to – this is would not be in on-base percentage leagues. This is just batting average leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I think he hits 250, and I think he hits 25 home runs, and I think you can get him at the end of the draft.
Cubs.
Now, I'm really high on Chris Bryant, and he's been going like third round, fourth round in drafts. You can't count him a sleeper, though, because he's Chris Bryant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Ian Happ.
Okay.
I love Ian Happ on base percentage, steals, power. The question is just where does he play?
Where does he play and does he play consistently?
Question. Yeah.
He's one of those players that if they would just put him out there every day and he knew what he was going to be doing every day, that they might get the results as opposed to shuffling them all over.
That's a near all-star player if they did those things.
Yeah. Brewers.
Wow, Brewers. I mean, I kind of like Ben Gamel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great pickup for him. So I'm going to say that's a super sleeper. Like, that's assuming that Ryan Braun gets hurt, which I think is a safe assumption. But let's say Ben Gamel for the Brewers. And also Keston Hira.
Mm-hmm.
Once he comes up for the Brewers, I think he's going to hit the cover off the ball. But in terms of guys that are on the team, ready to go, that's my guy.
Reds.
I mean, I love Jesse Winker. Is he a sleeper? I think he's probably still a sleeper, right? I love Jesse Winker.
Astros.
I mean, it has to be a pitcher, right? I would have said Josh James, but let's say Brad Peacock. I think if he's going to, pick him up at the end of the draft, who knows? Maybe the guy, remember, 2 years ago was starting games and winning and getting strikeouts. So he might not be a quality start guy, meaning six innings, but most leagues don't have that. So who cares?
Angels.
I'm going to say Zach Cozart makes a comeback.
Rangers.
Oof, this is a tough team. This is a tough team.
They have their reclamation pitching staff.
Yeah, no pitching for the Rangers. Anyone. Let's say Chu. I think Chu is still undervalued. Mm-hmm. So let's say Chu's the sleeper.
Athletics.
I mean, I want to say, what's that guy? Laureano? Ramon Laureano?
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy. That's my sleeper. I think he gets you 15 to 20 home runs and 15 to 20 stolen bases. And at the end of the draft, that's a great pick.
Mariners.
Ubly. What'd you say for the Mariners, John? You're a.
I don't even know who's on their team anymore.
It's rough, right? Like, it's, wait a second. D. Gordon, is he still on the team?
Yeah, I think he
Maybe
is.
Maybe we'd say D. Gordon.
No, is he?
I don't know.
I don't know. He is. I can't remember.
He's not a sleeper.
But DePoto said yesterday that everybody that is still like a well-known name is on the block.
And Domingo Santana.
Okay, that's good.
That's the guy they traded Ben Gamble for. Domingo Santana. I think the only reason why that guy's numbers last year weren't good was because the Brewers didn't play him. They were like, oh, we're going to trade for the MVP instead.
Padres.
Sleeper on the Padres. Manny Machado, is that?
Hosmer.
I think Will Myers is underappreciated, but I don't think you can count him as. What's the deal with Franchi Cordero? Is he recovered from?
Yeah, I think he's one of those players that I thought was. I took a total, dartboard on him, thinking that he was going to get the power numbers, and I think he will. I think his on base percentage may be an issue, but. It's just a matter of finding a spot in the outfield for him.
Yeah. Let's go with Manny Margot. He's probably going to be the center fielder. Mm-hmm. Maybe he figures it out a little bit. Maybe the lineup changes help him figure things out a little bit better. Let's say Manny Margot.
Dodgers.
I mean, Alex Verdugo is probably the guy that's the only person that would qualify as a sleeper. Yeah. I like Kenta Maeda as well. And, of course, Hyunjin Ryu is underappreciated. But again, that's because of injuries. But Alex Verdugo, unless they sign Harper.
Giants.
Cameron Maybin. No, let's say, you know who I still like is Brandon Belt. If he can stay healthy, Brandon Belt.
Okay. Rockies.
Okay. Garrett Hampson is absolutely the guy, though. I don't think he's a sleeper. So Raimel Tapia, I think. Ooh. Might be like that super sleeper. So let's go with super sleeper Raimel Tapia.
That sounds like a CIA thing,
right? He's a center fielder with great speed, but he needs the playing time. So I don't know how that all plays out with Dahl and Blackman and Desmond in the outfield, but he deserves a shot and he's good.
D-backs.
This is a tough one. That team's falling apart. I think this is gonna be a bad team this year. But I do like Zach Godley.
Okay.
I think he's undervalued.
With a K or an H?
You know, I'm not sure if he's English or American, but like Zach Britton.
Tigers.
Oi, mate.
Tigers.
Michael Fulmer? Fulmer is my sleeper for them.
Okay. Indians?
Jake Bowers.
Okay. Twins?
Marwin Gonzalez? No. Byron Buxton, man.
Yeah. Maybe he reaches his full potential.
I still
love
that guy so much. And they have to play him, right? Because there's nobody better in center field than he is.
Yeah, he's great glove. Speed.
And
but he's one of those players that is going to injure himself because of his speed.
Also, like how he's so successful at stealing bases, like he's been caught only a few times. Mm-hmm. There's my guy.
White Sox.
I mean, Eloy Jimenez, but that's not exactly like a sleeper. Everyone kind of knows he's coming and he's going to be taken in the top 150. So let's say outside the 150 zone. God, who's that? And Abreu's underappreciated, but probably not sleeper. This is a rough team. Yoan Moncada is falling a lot, but he's not really a sleeper. I don't know. Who cares? Skip the White Sox.
Last but not least, the Royals.
The Royals. Okay, so Merrifield is not a sleeper. Mondesi is not a sleeper, though he was last year, which I pushed pretty hard on for most people. Helped me win my big money league. And then... Hamilton is kind of a sleeper, but everyone kind of knows who he is still. What about Jorge Soler? He was putting up good numbers when he was healthy, and if he's healthy, let's let's say that's a guy who's going to be available at the end of everyone's draft right. that might wind up being a top 150 player.
Right. That does it. Round the horn.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah. Look, obviously, if I did more research and had more preparation, that might be a smoother segment. But I think it's part of the...
That was by far the smoothest segment for Around the Horn we've ever done.
Oh, okay.
So that was a good one.
Well, then you're welcome. Never mind. I was going to say, like, I think the sort of, like, just sort of a winging it style is sort of a fun thing about Around the Horn.
No, that's good. Yeah.
Also, it's easier.
That's what you do. You wing it around the horn.
I do.
That's how we do. Okay, that leads us to extra innings and taking a look outside the world of baseball.
Even though we've spent most of this show
talking about outside the world of baseball. So the Eagles are going to be losing Nick Foles. He's qualified as a free agent now, right?
Yeah. He's going to let that foal become an adult mare? Is that how it was? Stallion?
Yeah, there you go. Stallion, yeah, definitely. He's a stud.
I mean, he's going to make, what, $30 million a year for some other team?
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback.
It's not his fault.
Maybe it's a system quarterback.
He didn't drop the pass.
I don't know what to say about them cutting him loose. Like, isn't he the one that won them the Super Bowl?
Wasn't performing this year and hurt again, came in and carried the team to the playoffs. So I don't know what they're not seeing that everybody else is.
It might just be a straight money play. You know, it might just be like we can pay Wentz less, and Wentzless sounds like a word, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ugh. Look at that guy; he's so Wentzless.
So yeah, speaking of Wentzless, Johnny Football, trouble just follows him wherever he goes.
Yes. So he was released from his CFL Montreal team, and he's barred from signing with any other teams because he violated the terms of the agreement. But they haven't said what that violation was.
Too much.
See, that's the thing with Canada, right?
Too much Twitter?
Maybe, or maybe too much consumption of other things.
I'm assuming.
But, like, look, Canada, stop being the nice guy.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Let us know how bad it is.
Though I will say I saw some quote from the Canadian Minister of Human Rights or something like that. They're talking about... free speech is an American concept that we Ooh. Don't concern ourselves with. I was like, what?
Wow.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, kind of everyone agrees that free speech is a good thing.
Right.
Unless you're in England and you say, do a mean tweet and they arrest you.
That happens?
Yes.
Oof.
People literally, and I know this sounds crazy and whatever, and like, oh, Trump's America, but how about not Trump's UK, where someone makes a mean tweet and gets arrested?
Ouch. So let's chat a little bit about the Oscars. Did you? I'm assuming you didn't watch them because you say you don't.
I did not watch them. Yeah. I did not watch them. Though I sort of got the updates every now and then. I was working on some writing and kind of checked in on Twitter to see who won. Look, Green Book won, which is I'm sure will be soon forgotten as the best film of the year.
Well, it's already.
I'm not sure that there was much competition. Really,
there was a little bit of a kerfuffle over this because of the white savior, you know, so a film about primarily about, you know, race relations in the 60s when the winning producers went up on stage. Executive producer Octavia Spencer was the only, I think, black person on the stage, and there was 15
white
people.
Wait, would you say that 1/14 of the people up there were black, like the current percentage of African Americans in the United States?
Ooh, but there's a ton of negativity,
a lot of white
flying around about that film and the white savior.
But here's the thing: like, what are they supposed to do? They're white people who are trying to produce a film that delivers a positive message for
my thing,
white and black relations. Like, what are you? So you're screwed either way,
right? And I no matter what you do, it's and people are like, well, there's no pathway for people of color to make films in the way there is for white people. But I mean, to me, at the end of the day, is as a storyteller, it's your story to tell. You know, the script writer happened to be the son of the white guy. And,
right. You
know, Dr. Shirley told the son of the white guy, do not reach out to my family because I'm estranged from my family. So, but, you know, they're like, it misrepresented the story. His family is saying it's misrepresented. He was estranged from his family. So it's just, when people get so high and mighty on something like that, it's. But Spike Lee kind of had his moment in the sun, and he got his award, and he climbed all over. What's his name? When he won his award, and after the show, he said, "I lost to Driving Miss Daisy for Do the Right Thing, and I lost to Driving Miss Daisy this year." again, he goes, "What are the chances? You know, almost 30 years apart that happens."
Now, let's be very clear. Do the Right Thing is a great film.
It is a fantastic film.
Black Klansman is a good film.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's like, it's one of the top 10 films in a weak year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really what it was. Like, in a year where there was room to nominate Black Panther,
right?
There was Black Klansman.
And there are some critics out there saying that Hollywood had its opportunity to set the standard by nominate or choosing Black Panther or Black Klansman as the best picture. And I'm like thinking to myself, I haven't seen Klansman yet, but I'm Black Panther is the
furthest
thing. But
isn't that racist?
It is reverse racism. Let's
isn't it just
open
like,
that can
like,
of worms.
Isn't it like racist to say like, oh, you can do this for black people, that black people need your help? Like, why not just have it be a good film? Like, Black Panther's a good film. It's a good
action
adventure.
It's a good film. It made a boatload of money.
Right or wrong? Made a lot of money.
It's going to open doors for future generations of black filmmakers. And so from that point of view, I think it's fantastic. But I think the bigger controversy was that Roma, so you have Alfonso Cuarón, who wrote, directed, shot the film, edited the film, wins for Best Director, Foreign Film, and Cinematography, but doesn't win for Best Picture.
Right.
And
I will say, when I watch that film, that's pretty much how I feel about it.
It was fantastic. It was a beautiful film. But I've seen Green Book and I've seen Roma, and I was entertained by Green Book, but Roma was a special piece of art.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, I think really what it was is that Hollywood's afraid that Netflix is upending the tried and true traditional pathway for film, and that theaters will be forgotten about, over time.
I mean, obviously the producers are going to vote for Hollywood and stuff, but I mean, let's be honest about Roma. That's a beautiful film, but that's not great storytelling.
Oh, I guess to me, it's the art of filmmaking has a lot of interpretations.
Absolutely. But I'm just talking about like when you cluster it all together, like I feel like there were a lot of like good solid 7.5s in the top 10. There was no 10. There was no 9.
Yeah, from the films that were presented, I thought Roma was the best one that I've seen. And then I haven't seen all of them.
They all had their flaws.
Yeah, I've seen
five. Can we talk about some flaws? Best editing for Bohemian Rhapsody. I haven't seen the movie. I'm a huge Queen fan. I also said I'm a huge Queen, but I'm a huge Queen fan. But I started to see some of the takes on it, and I was like, oh, I think this might actually be a bad film. And someone described it as basically if someone read aloud the Wikipedia page for Queen.
It is a blitzkrieg through, it covers an awful lot, and it's really only like a 15-year period. It doesn't, follow away into the early 90s when Freddie Mercury died, but it covers an awful lot
terrible music.
Of ground.
And the editing in this film is some of the absolute worst editing I've ever seen. I've seen people make videos highlighting how bad the editing is. It's some of the worst editing I've ever seen in a film. It won Best Editing. Rami Malek, bless his heart, in Mr. Robot, basically won the Academy Award for acting. I used to make fun of the Golden Globes for giving Drew Barrymore an acting award. But basically for doing an impression of Freddie Mercury, kind of looking like him and doing an impression of Freddie Mercury. That's what he won an award for.
He was good. I thought he embodied.
He's fine. Huh? But you're telling me that's the best actor? No.
I thought he deserved it. I haven't seen all the other movies either, so.
Yeah.
And I know,
you're doing an okay job in an okay film, then you're not the best actor.
Well, but part of it, though.
You know what? Just give it to Daniel Day-Lewis. He wasn't even up for it, but just give it to him.
No, but part of it, though, is that, what most people don't realize is that the studios spend gazillion dollars for Oscar nominations and then for influence of the voting Academy.
That's right.
So it is all about marketing. It's all about messaging.
It's a lot
to the
of marketing. It's
tons of money spent to get the award. And that's what right. Harvey Weinstein was brilliant at. You know, he
also raping women.
On that note, I don't know anything about this Bones lawsuit. Fill me
yes.
in. I've never seen the show. I'm aware
okay,
of it.
Okay, so you know what Hollywood accounting is, right?
What Hollywood accounting is?
Have you ever heard of that expression, Hollywood
no,
accounting?
I have not.
That's when a studio or a network makes a show or a film, and then they say, like, well, we're going to share the profits after, you know, the not off the gross, but off the net.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they pad all the net.
Right.
And they say, the studio says, this film costs us $100 million to make, and it made $200 million. So it's a $100 million profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. The studio will say that
all
we also had all
expenses.
These other expenses.
Right.
And sometimes they'll pad in budgets from other films, and they do all this crazy stuff to make it so that, oh, we really only made $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
So then they only have to share the $20 million. They don't have to share the $100 million. Anyway, Emily Deschanel, Zoe Deschanel's sister, less charismatic and less attractive sister, but still very successful in her own right, and David Boreanaz won a $179 million lawsuit against Fox for their Bones, because they had percentage of the mm-hmm. of the profit in their contracts.
That's a big win.
And Fox was trying to pull like a, well, no, we actually all these other expenses, and nope.
So did they win the money that they felt that they were owed, but or is there some retribution in there as well?
And then I don't think that was punitive. I think that was
just
off
what
of
they,
the...
Is it, wow.
Yeah.
So they tried to hide $179 million.
Yeah.
Wow. So the show was obviously successful.
Yeah. Shockingly so, but yes.
Yeah, never saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know. So what's coming up next?
Watch the Foul Territory Baseball Show and be the GM of your own baseball team. Remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.